Look, I want to talk about, real quick today, I want to talk about how to end 2024 and how to go into 2025. Everybody say, how, Lord? It's by faith. Everybody say, faith. The way that we, you know, Pastor Dave just talked about the fast. The way that we start a fast, it's with what? It's with faith. Faith, Hebrews 11 calls faith the substance of things hoped for. This past week, a friend of mine was telling me about something that might happen. And he told me, and then the next day he said, actually, it's not going to happen. He said, I'm sorry that I got our hopes up. And I said, hold on. Like, something just didn't seem right just about that statement. I was like, we should never apologize for having our hopes up, right? We should live with our hopes up. That's what faith is. Living with our hopes up, living with the substance of things hoped for. Because if one thing doesn't come about, how many of you know God has something better? Amen. Does anybody believe that today? So all throughout, all of the exchanges between God and his people all throughout history have always revolved and will always revolve around faith. Say faith one more time. Faith. And I want to look at a passage. There are two times in the Bible, two times that Jesus commended someone for their great faith. And I want to look at one of those. Open up to Mark 7 if you have your Bible. And listen, the disposition of faith will put a different spin on your perspective of your past. It'll put a different spin on your perspective of the present. It'll put a different spin on your perspective of the future. And I love the faith that even Jesus marvels at here. In Mark chapter 7, it says this: Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. He wanted to be undercover. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. Many people call this they label her the Syrophoenician woman, because she was she had a dual identity of being a Syrian and being from Phoenicia. She was a Galilean. She was a Gentile. She was not a Jew. And so in every possible way, she was an outsider in this story. Her nationality made her an outsider. Her gender in a male-dominated culture made her an outsider. If you read this account in Matthew 18, the same account, it says that the disciples didn't want her to approach because they wanted Jesus to get rest. The devil's against her. Her daughter has an impure spirit. She has everything against her. But then it says she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. Matthew 18 says, Jesus was astounded by her great faith. Look at this. She's not even a believer at this point, but her faith strikes the heartstrings of God. Can I tell you something today? If you're in this building, if you're watching online, wherever you're at spiritually, wherever you're at emotionally, wherever you're at mentally, all that Jesus is looking for is what? Faith. It's all he's looking for. For me, he doesn't care that I'm a pastor. He says, Jake, where's your faith? He doesn't care how much you know about the Bible. He says, no, right now, he looks at your heart of faith. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is the currency of heaven. And for her, the title of today's message is all it took was one prayer of faith. Everybody said one prayer of faith. It's all about how you ask. It's not about the words that you ask with. It's about the heart. Jesus, our world, it revolves around words and clever words. The best way that we can manipulate our words to create an ask. But Jesus, he knows the ask from our hearts. I was, life really is about all about how you ask for things in many ways. I was at a restaurant recently that my wife and I went to, and I ordered a burger, and I said, "Hey, I want this burger and no pickles." And the server looked at me dead in the eye, just right in the face. He says, "It comes with pickles." So I was so intimidated, I just said, "Okay." So the burger came, and it was great, and the pickles I didn't care for, but they were there. And, you know, you pick them off, but it still has the taste. And I was like, this could have been really great with no pickles, but it comes with pickles, and there's no denying that. So the next week, once I find something that I like, I just stick to it. And we went back to the restaurant, and my wife said, she said to me, "So are you gonna order it with no pickles?" And I said, "Honey, I can't. It comes with pickles." I'm not getting that lecture again, right? So I order, and I said, "I'll take the burger." End of story. Same server, I was not gonna say an extra word. And then my wife says, "I'll take the burger too, but question for you, is there any chance that you could serve it without the pickles?" He said, "Yeah, no problem. One burger, everything, one burger, no pickles." And came back, and she said, "How's your burger?" I said, "It's really good." And with my pickles on the side, and just still tasting the pickle juices and pickleness on it, right? And she said, "Yeah, mine's so good." Life's all about how you ask. It's all about how you ask. Jesus, he's not impressed with our words because he sees so far beyond that. Jesus, he's impressed with our heart. For her, now there was a verbal exchange, so Jesus is hearing the words, but he detects that those words are representative of a special place that this woman has in her heart. He sees, now this wasn't like, he wasn't comparing her to wild dogs like you might hear sometimes. No. The word in the Greek translated for dogs, it was a household pet, right? The same way that we kind of think of it. Everything would go to the kids and then the leftovers down. And she's saying, "Hey," so it wasn't disparaging her, but he was saying, "Hey, first the kids get something, and then everybody else." And she says, "Oh, that's fine. I'll take the leftovers." And he says, "Oh, this woman, she's not demanding something. She's saying, 'Hey, I want whatever you have to give me, Jesus.'" And he says, he's astounded by that faith. It's one prayer of faith. Can I tell you something today? The ending 2024, beginning 2025, you need to know that when it starts at salvation or all throughout the Christian life, where there's breakthrough needed, you are not 100 prayers away, you're not 50 prayers away, you're not 10 prayers away, you are one prayer away from breakthrough. There is a prayer that can strike the heart of God. And if we stop believing that, then we stop believing the substance of what it really means to walk with God. It's not based on degrees. It's not based on knowledge. It's not based on how much of the biblical timeline we have memorized or how many scriptures we have memorized. No. Jesus is impressed. His heart stops. His attention is grabbed by what? By faith. And I just want to look at two quick things that this Bible that this text shows us about faith. And you know, even before that, this woman, she wasn't a believer at the time. She wasn't following Jesus. She's just heard about Jesus, and she goes and she asks him, and she asks him with faith. And it reminds me of in World War II, General George Patton was a famous general for the United States in World War II. And right on the brink of potentially ending the war, he was in Europe, and they're trying to attack the Germans, and everything went well for him until September 1944, and it started to rain every single day. And from September to December, it rained every single day. He accounted that it was like just liquid mud, just everywhere, as if it was just grass. There was nothing else. It was just mud, mud, mud every day. And it stopped them from being able to attack. The cloudiness allowed the planes to not fly, and allowed the Germans to kind of replenish and get ready to attack again when he had them on the ropes. And so for months and months, it's just rain. And finally, he's fed up, and he goes to the chaplain. He says, Chaplain O'Neill, he said, how much do the guys in our in the army pray? He said, oh, you mean the chaplains? He said, no, the men, the soldiers. How much do they pray? And the chaplain said, well, you know, when we're fighting, I feel like they pray, you know, when we fight. They pray for safety. He said, but when things are calm and we're kind of waiting, he said, they don't pray. And George Patton, who wasn't a believer necessarily, he said, well, we need them to pray. And the chaplain said, I think you're right. And so the chaplain and George Patton, they penned a prayer, and they distributed it to over 200,000 soldiers. And it said, Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain these immoderate rains with which we've had to contend. Grant us fair weather. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call upon thee, that are armed with thy power. We may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and nations. Amen. They distributed it to over 200,000 soldiers. They started to pray. And then right when they started to pray, guess what? The weather didn't stop right away. That's when the Germans started to attack. But they kept praying, and General George Patton and his clergymen, and they said, everybody keep praying. And for 7 days, they kept praying, and eventually the weather stopped. The rain stopped. It was clear skies, and once it was clear skies, they were able to attack the Germans just as freely as they wanted. Can I tell you something? Your prayer, all that it takes is faith. It's not, you don't have to pen it, you don't have to pen it perfectly. Your words don't have to be perfect. Your background doesn't matter. Your past doesn't matter. The things that you've been up against don't matter. It's faith. You know why that worked? You know why distributing that worked? It's because somebody believed that God actually controls the weather. Did you know that God controls the weather? God controls the weather of your life. He controls the storms. He controls the rain. He controls the shade. He controls where you're going and where you've been and where you're going. He controls it. And all that God says is, hey, come to me and ask me. I can control this. So look, what's unique about this prayer of faith in the life of this woman is two quick things. One prayer of faith, it narrows out all the options. A real prayer of faith, it doesn't say, God, here's plan A, here's plan B, and here's plan C. No, it says, God, here's plan A. And plan A is your will, and that's it. You know what the woman said? She begged for healing for her daughter. She begged that the demon possession would end. And then when Jesus replied to her, she said, God, I will take the leftovers. You give me plan A, and that's all that I need. She took all of the options off the table. Jesus wants a faith that says, here's my will, and that's it. The Bible says that he orders the steps of the righteous. So if he orders our steps, that doesn't mean that we get to choose that one. No, Jesus just says, hey, walk in my steps, and I'm going to take care of you. That's what faith is. Faith says, God, I need this breakthrough, and you're going to give me this breakthrough, and I trust you that the way that you're going to give me the breakthrough is the way that it's supposed to be. It eliminates all of the other options. The prayer of faith, it's concentrated. It's not watered down. You know, you ever buy soap and it's like so concentrated that you have to water it down, or cooking stock that you have to water down a little bit when you cook. Jesus says, no, I want the full concentrated faith. I want everything. I don't want you thinking, okay, what if God doesn't do this? Then I'm going to start to work on it on my own. No, what if God doesn't provide for me financially? Then I'm going to have this backup plan. If God doesn't change this person in my life, I have this other way that I'm going to try to change them. No. Jesus says, come to me with the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith says that there's one option, and it's God's will. God will answer me. It eliminates all the options. Your own faith can narrow the playing field. Augustine said, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. So faith stays focused on an answer from God. This woman, her faith stayed focused on an answer from God. Jesus started to, if you read in Matthew 18, it says that Jesus didn't answer her at first. So she was going around thinking that, or, you know, for a moment, she's thinking, I've got all of these things against me. And now my prayer can't even reach Jesus. You see, it's one prayer of faith that reached his heart, but she asked multiple times. Sometimes we have to ask multiple times, but there's going to be one prayer that reaches his heart, the one prayer that moves his heartstrings, one prayer that moves his hand to action, and that's what we go after. She says, no, there's one option here, and it is God's will. Jesus, I will take the leftovers. None of the other options matter. For your life, for my life, we have to, as we transition into a new year, we have to say, God, there are no options. It's your will and it's your way. That's all that matters. It reminds me of in the 1500s, you may have heard this reference before, but in the 1500s, there was a Spanish explorer, Hernan Cortez. And he came over to explore South America, and he kind of he did, and they created villages and economies and all this stuff. And then he went to Mexico, and in Mexico he showed up with ships and 7,000 soldiers, and Mexico had about 5 million indigenous people, and so he was very outnumbered. But he's told his troops, "There's one option here." We're not going back. We're not retreating. We're gonna live or die on this hill. And so what did he do? He burned the ships. He burned all the other options. Now, I'm not advocating to go try and conquer a nation, or to try and conquer your neighborhood or your neighbor's house. But I'm saying, hey, when you go to conquer the enemy, when there's a blockade in your way, you go at it and you don't say, no, if I don't get through that, if Jesus doesn't help me here, I'm gonna try to go around, or I'm gonna try to finagle another way, or I'm gonna try to sweet talk a different way. No, no, it's one way. It's God, I am taking your way. I am going down your road and I'm burning every other option. The life of faith is not a life of option B or plan C or you know, if ands and what happens here, this or that or the other. No, no. The life of faith, it says there's one option, and it's God's will. It's God's way. How many of you want to walk into 2025 saying, God, there's only one option. I am sold out in my faith. I am looking directly where you want me to go. Second thing that this shows us, and then I want to say this quickly because I want us to end 2024. I know that we have the prayer meeting on Tuesday. Come on out. But I want us to have the last Sunday of 2024 at the altar. And I want to encourage you, every person here, God can grow your faith. Everybody say, God can grow my faith. One prayer of faith is grown by the Spirit. So that means that everything that Jesus does in your life, everything that he has done, every perspective that you have, every journey that you've had, every challenge that you've had, God can use it to grow your faith. So when you look back at 2024, some of you may say, man, God really blessed me in 2024. Guess what? He's done that to grow your faith. Some of you may have said, 2024 was a challenge, and I can't wait to turn the page. Guess what? God can use that to grow your faith. But faith is the perspective that accepts that and says, God, you're using this to grow me. In Jesus was having a private conversation with her in public, which is what's always going on. Everybody here, we're in public, but you know, me and the pastors will have conversations with people, and they'll say, you know what? I don't know how, you know, Pastor Toledo, I don't know how Pastor Dave or how Pastor Tim or Pastor Jose, or Pastor Javon, I don't know how they were just reading my mail. You know, I was sitting there in a seat, or I'm watching online. And I'm like, man, the pastor just read my mail. How did he know, and why did he say that to me when there's all these other people? No, no, you know what that is? God is having a private conversation with you in public. It's not, the private conversation's not for everybody to see or to hear. What God is saying to you is unique to you, but you're in public right now. You know what that means? That means that God, wherever you're at, God can pinpoint you and speak directly to you without excluding everybody else too. Jesus was speaking to this woman. He didn't neglect everything else that was going on, but he gave her his full attention, and he said, here's your answer. And he answered her, and he healed her daughter. What does that mean? That means that Jesus today, he can have a conversation with you, a private conversation with you, in the midst of everything else that's going on. He doesn't need you to, he calls you to a relationship where you spend time with him on your own, but Jesus says, hey, I can talk to you anywhere, anytime. I can reach you anywhere, anytime. She wasn't even a believer at this time, and he reached her anywhere, anytime. Two times, Jesus was astounded by people's faith. Neither one of them were followers before they came to him. The Syrophoenician woman here and the Roman centurion. He was amazed by their faith. Today, I don't know about you, but I want to pray the prayer of faith that says that Jesus is amazed by my faith. I don't want it to be prayers of yesterday. I don't want it to be prayers of last year. I'm not hanging on to what God did for me in 2023 or throughout 2024. God, I want something new from you. I need a new breakthrough. I'm going to pray a new prayer. Amen. When you think about all the negative things that happened in your life, what if you remembered this exchange between this woman and Jesus? Everything set her up for this moment, for this encounter with Jesus. You don't give to the house puppies what belong to the children, but she says, no, no, no. I'll take whatever you have, God. I'll take whatever you have. Psalm 66 says this. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I don't want to miss out on the blessing and reward that comes from testing. I don't want to miss out on the fullness of God's abundance. God, 2024 may have tested you. God was not trying to hurt you. He was trying to prepare you for more. For this woman, God was not trying to hurt her. God was trying to bring her through so that she could be ready for more. For 2025, God has more for you. 2024 will be in the past. Your past will be in the past. But how you look at it will have a big difference in how you approach your life. Faith gives you the perspective. God, you're testing me. God, you're growing my faith in the Spirit. Corrie Ten Boom said this, faith is like radar that sees through the fog the reality of things at a distance that the human eye cannot see. If you don't know, Corrie Ten Boom was held in a concentration camp. And how did she survive that? She didn't look at it and say, God, you're trying to hurt me. She didn't look at it and say, God, you're against me. She didn't even look at it and say, God, you haven't heard me, you haven't answered me. No, no. Like the Syrophoenician woman, she said, God, I'm ready for my faith to keep growing. Your mountains in your life, you can either say, you know what, God, I feel like I'm lost. I'm going to find my own way. Or you can look at it and you can say, God, you've grown my faith to the point where I can pray a prayer that can knock down that mountain. Come on, will you stand to your feet with me? If the band could come. I want to read one more thing. William Booth said this. God loves with a great love. The man, the person whose heart is bursting with a passion for the impossible. Have you given up on the impossible in your life? I don't know about you, but for me, it's kind of like this. For me, and I was talking to somebody, to a high school student the other day. And when I was in high school, This isn't the case for everybody, but when I was in high school, school was kind of easy to me. Like I was able to get by easy. But every year there was one class that just gave me the hardest time. And so what I did is I would just put that class like outside of my mind and be like, you know what? All I gotta do is pass. Like I'm not worried about it, just all I got to do is pass. I just got to do the bare minimum and get enough, you know? And I think that that's sometimes the way that even mature believers, that we approach our life of faith, that there's this circle, there's a pie of things, and all the slices of the pie, we say, you know what, I serve, and I treat my family well, and I do my devotions, and I attend church, and I do this, but there's this one part of my life that it's just too hard, and I want to put it to the side and just not think about it because it's easier that way. And so many times, God has his biggest breakthrough right there. But all we got to do is ask. All we got to do is have one prayer of faith. Sometimes it's the biggest mountain. Sometimes it's the hardest thing that we ignore and we put out of our mind and we say, you know what, God, everything else is good. I'm just gonna settle for that. No settling in the name of Jesus. 2025, no settling in the name of Jesus. 2025, breakthrough comes with one prayer of faith.